I'm Samantha Wright. I'm with George Prentice. George, it's time for Idaho Matters, and we've got something special this hour besides your top 10 what to watch.
Boy, do we ever. Folks, we're going to go out in style, so here we go. The curtain's up. Light the lights. A group of Boise State Public Radio members have agreed to match your gift in any amount for this hour only.
Sweet.
Fans of Idaho Matters, we need to hear from you.
Yes.
We're going out. We know you've been waiting for this moment. Here it is in this hour. Your gift in any amount will be matched. So the phone number is 800-359-8411. If you appreciate this broadcast this day and every day, we want to hear from you because when we do, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar. Can you imagine that gift of $500 instantly becoming $1,000? It happens at BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. It happens on the phone at 800-359-8411.
And, you know, we are reaching out to you. If you are fans of Idaho Matters, if you listen every day at noon, if you listen to the podcast, if you listen at 8 o'clock, if you like what you hear, now is the time. Put your money where your mouth is or your ears are, as the case may be, because we want to hear from you, Idaho Matters fans. It has been a great joy to be producing Idaho Matters for all these years. And I want to make a special reach out to everyone who listens and loves the show. Please help us. Mm-hmm. Please support us, because now is the time. 1-800-359-8411. And that said, let's get into Idaho Matters. George, you come every other Thursday to Idaho Matters with your What to Watch segment to give us what to watch over the weekend. You give us fantastic movies and documentaries and TV
sometimes
shows.
Some that are
that we've
I don't know.
Heard of, never heard of, should have heard of, that you go to Toronto Film Festival to get a preview of. You do all this hard work for us throughout the year, and we thought, you know, not unlike last year, we need to know what your top 10
well,
of 2023.
We're going to get to that, but I really, really am feeling festive.
I am feeling festive too. But
and I really want to do something, you know, holiday-ish.
Go.
Okay. So I want to take you back, and I mean way back. So well before most other people were born, but when television was young and when most television was one night only. This is long before any personal technology where you could record or see something again. This is long before TV even ran reruns that often. So here's a quiz. What was the very first television animated special?
Charlie Brown.
No.
Oh,
and a lot of people think that is the OG, right? They think it's the OG. Charlie Brown Christmas was 1965.
Okay.
Just so you know. How the Grinch was 1966.
Okay.
But before 1965 was 1964, Rudolph.
Rudolph!
Was before Charlie Brown. So Rudolph,
nice.
The Red-Nosed Reindeer. But the very first animated Christmas special, and the New York Times the next day wrote that it is was a pioneer. So it is and was Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
Really?
So here is this Mr. Magoo character, this unlikely, you know, nearsighted guy. You know, he made these little shorts, et cetera. But it was mostly just slapstick comedy, right? Little cartoons.
Yeah.
And NBC, for some reason, decided, well, let's do a Christmas Carol. Let's make Mr. Magoo Ebenezer Scrooge, and let's make it serious.
Whoa.
Right? What? How are we going to do
this? The cartoon.
Let's make this a full hour. And so most executives were like, what? No, we're not putting this on. We're going to show Perry Como or Dinah Shore or something else. No, we're going to put this together. And we are going to go get the best composer in the U.S. to write original music. So the hottest show on Broadway at the time, this is how long ago it was Funny Girl.
Oh, my gosh.
Starring Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
And the best composer in New York on Broadway at the time was Julie Stein, who wrote, you know, classic songs and, of course, Funny Girl, and they said, will you write a score to our cartoon? Can you imagine what that conversation sounded like?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, anyway, it went out in 1962, and it was a smash hit, which is to say critical hit, and so many people, I can't imagine the percentage of TV sets that were tuned to this at then unique. It was like, what? I'm watching a cartoon that's more than 3 minutes long. What is this? And it's like, and starring this Mr. Magoo. But it was classic. So here's some of, some of it. It might jog a memory or two. Let's listen.
Cratchit, what are you doing at home when you should be working?
But sir, it's Christmas Day.
Now I'll tell you what, my friend. I am not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, I'm about to raise your salary.
What?
A Merry Christmas, Bob. A Merry Christmas, my good fellow. And I have given you for many a year. And that's what I'll do. I'll raise your salary and assist your struggling family.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Oh, hold there. Here we go.
Ringle, ringle. Coins when they jingle.
Boy, so that takes me back. It ran every year at Christmas time for decades.
Wow.
It's a huge streaming. It's on Apple now. But Jim Backus, the voice of Mr. Magoo, by the way, he played Mr. Howell on Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, he did.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like, what is this? This unlikely adaptation of Dickens' Christmas Carol that a lot of people think is the best adaptation out there.
Wow.
So it was Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol. And it made television history. So quite frankly, it is the OG. And so it was still a couple of years until someone said, well, why don't we turn this song into something, this Rudolph song that's on the radio. Oh, okay. And then Charles Schulz, who was just doing a daily comic strip, CBS came to him and said, oh, well, could you possibly do a Christmas special? Anyway, so, you know, all these things that are legendary now, it all started with Mr. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so let's talk movies.
Let's do it.
1990. Fast forward. 1990, okay? So think about 1990, right? I think George Bush Sr., I think he was in the White House at the time. An important year in the internet's early history, in the fall of 1990, the very first web server came out. So this is like pre-internet for a lot of people. Anyway, writer-producer John Hughes was thinking about a movie, and he was preparing to go on vacation. And he said, I was going away on vacation and making a list of everything I didn't want to forget. I thought, well, I better not forget my kids. Then I thought, what if I left my 10-year-old son at home? What would he do? And he wrote 8 pages of notes that developed into Home Alone.
Oh, my gosh.
Home Alone just burst out onto the scene. And not many people were making Christmas movies before Home Alone. I mean, it had been decades. I mean, there were certainly a lot in the 40s and 50s, et cetera. So it was not a typical genre, if you will.
Right.
Well, to this day, I think Home Alone just makes something like $1.5 billion or something like that at the box office. It's some ridiculous amount, but it's all about Macaulay Culkin. And so for all of the craziness of it, of this little boy against these robbers, et cetera, there were these very gentle moments. So I'm going to take you back to Home Alone. Do you remember the scene when Kevin, and here he is all alone in his home, and he walks to the local church, and he's sitting there in the local church, and the scary man that lived across the way from him that he was always scared of is like, oh, like he's evil, whatever. This man comes up to Kevin, and there's this moment in the church, and this is Home Alone. We're going to take you back to 1990.
Years back, before you and your family moved on the block, I had an argument with my son. We lost our tempers, and I said I didn't care to see him anymore. He said the same. We haven't spoken to each other since.
If you miss him, why don't you call him?
I'm afraid if I call him, he won't talk to me.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm just afraid he won't.
No offense, but aren't you a little old to be afraid?
You can be a little old for a lot of things. You're never too old to be afraid.
That's true. I've always been afraid of our basement. It's dark, there's weird stuff down there, and it smells funny, that sort of thing.
The basements are like that.
Then I made myself go down there to do some laundry, and I found out it's not so bad. All this time I've been worrying about it, but if you turn on the lights, it's no big deal.
What's your point?
My point is, you should call your son.
What if he won't talk to me?
At least you'll know. Then you can stop worrying about it. And he won't have to be afraid anymore. I don't care how mad I was, I talked to my dad, especially around the holidays.
Wow.
You know, there for all of the craziness of Home Alone, I love these little gentle moments. And boy, you get a lump in your throat. But here's my theory. Home Alone was a huge success because of scenes like that. You didn't see scenes like that coming. You just thought it was slapstick and good guys and bad guys and the parents, the forgetful parents, and then the hug at the end. Well, in between, there is some really sincerity and niceness. And I think that audiences like, wow, give us more of this. And goodness no, they gave us a lot more sequels of that. But then the floodgates opened, right?
Right.
And the genre of holiday movies is right. Just like, it just keeps coming. Honestly, I don't think there's a Hallmark channel unless there's a Home Alone.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's very marketable on top of everything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We're looking at favorite Christmas movies, holiday movies. Tell us what your favorite is when you call 1-800-359-8411. We're doing a match.
Yes.
During the last
dollar.
Hour. Dollar for dollar match. Last hour of the fun drive. When you call and give a gift, tell us your favorite Christmas movie.
Okay. Here's another one.
Okay.
Of all, and we talked about Magoo, but I mean, think about all of the adaptations of A Christmas Carol. And I think every sitcom in the history of television has done
right.
their version of, oh, well, what if, you know, I was visited by ghosts and da-da-da-da, right?
Right.
So there are so many variations of A Christmas Carol, some of them very serious, some of them comical. But let's go back to 1988, and this was pretty popular, Scrooged, right?
Oh!
Bill Murray, the American fantasy comedy, again, based on A Christmas Carol. Bill Murray here is Frank Cross, right? The cynical, selfish television executive, and he worked for a fictional network called UBS,
yep,
that like had over the top like broadcasting for Christmas, and in 1988 it was like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. No one would ever do this. So here's a sample of what he would put on the air.
There's a cold, bleak Christmas.
10 o'clock. IBC presents live via satellite from New York, Bethlehem, Helsinki, West Berlin, and the Great Barrier Reef, Charles Dickens' immortal Christmas classic, Scrooge, starring Buddy Hackett, Jamie Farr, the Solid Gold Dancers, and Mary Lou Retton as Tiny Tim. Hosted by Sir John Houseman, Scrooge, it will touch your every heartstring. That's right, it all starts on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve on IBC. You'll love it.
You know, this fictional IBC, right? And at the time, we considered it to be over-the-top television. But by today's standards, I mean, right? I mean, Jamie Farr and the Solid Gold Dancers.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, we might actually see schlock like that.
This is one Santa right? Claus that's going out the front door.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yep. Yeah, with Lee Majors and the $6 Million Man was in it. You know, it's like, what? And so it was a takeoff on television and network executives, but at the heart of it was Bill Murray, right?
Yep.
And he was just really, you know, he had come out of Meatballs, and he had done a couple of hit songs. This is probably before Ghostbusters, I would imagine.
I think so.
Right? So, but there's that scene at the end, right, when Frank, you know, is visited by the ghosts, and he comes onto that live broadcast and basically takes it over.
Yep.
And there is Bill Murray in all of his glory, just going at it and being sincere, and let's take a listen.
Take a chance. You do have to get involved. There are people that are having trouble making their miracle happen.
I get it now. And if you give, then it can happen. Then the miracle can happen to you. It's not just the poor and the hungry. It's everybody who's got to have this miracle. It can happen every day. You just got to want that feeling. You'll want it every day of your life, and it can happen to you. I believe in it now. I believe it's going to happen to me now. I'm ready for it. It's great. It's a good feeling. It's really better than I felt in a long time.
Don't you love that?
Oh, my gosh.
Don't you love that? Oh, my gosh. So I almost wish he was here now asking for people to give.
Right?
You know, right? It's like it's a great feeling. I know it. It's like it can happen to you. So call us, right? 800-359-8411. Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. That's awesome. Wait, before you go any further.
Yeah.
Chris from Ketchum.
Yeah.
Favorite Christmas show is The Grinch.
Oh, wow. What's fascinating about that, of course, is that, you know, How the Grinch Stole Christmas was a storybook long before it was a special. And so what they did was they went to the famous Chuck Jones, who was famous for doing the Bugs Bunny cartoons, right? And he animated The Grinch. But then they decided to go to who was considered to be the greatest horror movie star of all time to be the narrator. Like, who's going to narrate this? Oh, let's get Boris Karloff. And so, like, there are generations of people, let alone kids, only know Boris Karloff as the narrator and the voice of the Grinch. And then, of course, it's been turned into a couple of full-length films with Jim Carrey, and very successful, too.
Yep. Chris, thank you so much from Ketchum for calling in, telling us your favorite Christmas show, giving us a gift. Your gift is matched to this hour, dollar for dollar match. And we need to hear from you, 1-800-359-8411. Go.
You know that a big slice of my heart is with and reserved for David Letterman. I've always loved David Letterman. Another story, probably for another show. I've told you about when I was on the David Letterman show.
Okay, we're going to have to hold on to that one.
That's another story, another time. Every year at Christmas time, David Letterman would have the same guest on at his final show before Christmas, and that was the singer Darlene Love, and she would sing the song Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home. So here's Darlene Cook from the 50s and the 60s. She was a background singer. She backed up like Sam Cooke and Dionne Warwick, Elvis Presley, the Beach Boys, and in 1963, she was on this Phil Spector production of a song, Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home, which was a modest hit. We all know it now, but here's why. So Darlene Love continued to work, but then she couldn't get too many jobs. And in 1980, she was cleaning houses.
Wow.
But David Letterman, who was just starting his late night show on NBC at the time, he asked her to come on his Christmas show and sing Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home. And every year, you know, when he went to CBS, and every year it just got bigger and bigger. One year, I think they had the New York Philharmonic behind her.
Wow.
There were, like, Springsteen's band was behind her one year. It just got bigger and bigger. So the ticket to the Letterman Christmas show at the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York was the hottest ticket in town. And they'd always, you know, fly snow in the theater, and it was just great. So flash forward to just last week, and again, here was Darlene Love in New York, this time outside of 30 Rock. Darlene Love joined Cher. I don't know if you saw this, when they were lighting the Rockefeller Christmas tree, and the two of them. Now, Darlene Love is 82 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Cher is 77 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Take a listen. This is Cher and Darlene Love singing live in downtown, Midtown Manhattan, right? And it's Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home. And wow, are they getting it done?
It's wonderful. Isn't that great?
Yeah, great stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, what is your favorite Christmas movie or TV show? Now is the time. Give us a call. Tell us, 1-800-359-8411. Make a gift. You have 35 minutes left.
And all gifts are being matched dollar for dollar. Get in the spirit. It's infectious. You'll want it. It's like you'll just want it every day. But right now, your gifts are being doubled.
And please help us out now. It's the last 35 minutes of the drive. It's the last bit before the drive is over and your last chance to get in on a dollar-for-dollar match, last chance to get in for that wonderful drawing for the Limelight Hotel in Sun Valley giveaway. Please call us now. We need to hear from you. Support Idaho Matters. Support the programming you love here at Boise State Public Radio. Nora from Boise, Rebecca from Meridian, Daniel from Twin Falls, Angela from Jerome, Marilyn from Meridian, all called and gave us a lovely gift that was matched dollar for dollar.
Dollar for dollar. You got to take advantage of this. Here we are in the home stretch of our membership drive. We can make this happen with your gift. If you're a fan of Idaho Matters this day and every day, we need to hear from you. And when we do, your gift will be matched. You can do that online at BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. You can do that on the phone at 800-359-8411.
All right. We need to take a quick break. We will be right back. And while we're at break, give us a call. 1-800-359-8411. We want to hear from you now.
Hi, this is Jane in Boise, and I've been listening to Boise State Public Radio for about 30 years, and I listen to it every day. I am so appreciative of the range of coverage and also content about arts and what's happening in my community and all over the world. It's really how I keep informed about global and local events, so I'm so grateful for Boise State Public Radio. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Wolf here in Boise, Idaho, and I've listened to NPR since I was in college in Eastern Oregon, but I only became a sustaining member after the events of 9/11, when I depended on the accuracy and fair reporting that I found on NPR and have continued to find. Thank you for existing.
My name is Harry. I've been listening to public radio for over 15 years. It has made me more educated, well-informed, and the entertainment is outstanding. Thank you.
Thank you for your support of public radio and Boise State Public Radio in particular. Now is the time to support 1-800-359-8411. About a half hour left in this membership drive, about a half hour left to get your gift matched, and about a half hour left to get in on this drawing for a trip for two to the Limelight Hotel in Sun Valley. I'm Samantha Wright here with George Prentice. It's Idaho Matters. Time for your top 10.
Yep, but this match. This
oh
is,
my gosh.
This is exciting. So
it's the last match.
In any amount.
Yep.
In any amount.
Yep.
Make this happen if you're a fan of Idaho Matters. 800-359-8411. So
if you've been waiting,
yes,
don't wait any longer.
This is it.
We're done. We're almost done.
Have fun.
Yes,
you know,
please.
Join the party, but make a call. Go online. You can do this on your laptop as you're listening. Boise State Public Radio, all one word, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. So many people make top 10 lists, right? It's just such a thing. But, I mean, truth be told, for me, I think some of them are rather snobbish.
Ooh.
In that they include a lot of titles that we've never heard of, or like the critics is like, oh, well, I know more than you do, et cetera, because here's this thing from the other side of the world, you know, and it's like, what? What is this 5-hour, you know,
epic documentary
epic
on
dust?
Amoebas?
You know, it's like, what am I watching? Anyway, so my top 10, here we go. They are mostly top 10 moments on film and television.
Okay.
So, you ready?
Ready.
Let's go. Number 10. It is Golda. Now, when the film Golda came out, I don't think, well, I know that, you know, most of the world did not know what would be happening in the Middle East and the tragedy and the war
afterward
that we would all be spiraling into. But the film came out just before that event. It depicts the life of Golda Meir, particularly during the Yom Kippur War, which, if you remember, Israel was a victim of a surprise attack. So Helen Mirren playing Golda Meir and Liev Schreiber as Henry Kissinger, that all against the backdrop of a surprise attack on Israel. The script focuses on the haunting body count rather than the righteousness of the conflict, where one is left with a sense that the stress of those thousands of lives might have cut short Golda Meir's life. So here is a scene when Liev Schreiber, as Henry Kissinger, is on the phone with Golda Meir, played by Helen Mirren, and she is telling him what is some of the, you know, her core motivation. And it went back to when she was a child. Let's listen.
The Russians are on high alert. They are preparing 11 airborne divisions, do you understand?
Do you think I don't know that? Let me tell you
about the Russians, Henry. When I was a child in Ukraine, at Christmas time, my father would
board up the windows of our house.
Golda.
To protect
us from Cossacks who would get drunk and attack Jews. They would beat Jews to death in the street for fun. My father would hide us in the cellar, and we'd stay silent, hoping the killers would pass us by. My father's face, Henry.
I will never forget that look. All he wanted was to protect his children.
I am not that little girl hiding in the cellar.
So now you're going to fight with the Russians too, huh?
You must choose, Henry.
Side with me, or I will create an army of orphans and widows.
This is not the way to...
I will slaughter them all. Whose side are you on? You must choose.
Golda.
Please
think about it. Goodbye, Mr. Secretary.
Right? Helen Mirren. And it's as good as it gets as far as performances in a year of fabulous performances from women. It's going to be a tough competition to see who's going to get that Oscar nod. But I say Helen Mirren's performance as Golda Meir is one of the absolute best. It is streaming now. Search this movie out. A lot of people, I think, might have missed this film. It's called Golda. It definitely makes my top 10.
Absolutely.
Number 9. Killers of the Flower Moon.
Ooh.
Right. It will be a Best Picture nominee. And Lily Gladstone, by the way, is the lead, has to be an odds-on favorite to take home the Oscar.
Sure.
So you know she's going to be nominated, as will the film, Martin Scorsese. It is this epic Western crime drama directed and co-produced by Scorsese, who also co-wrote the script based on this best-selling book from 2017. Interesting take, and you and I have talked about this, is that the book really went through the lens of the FBI and its investigation. Scorsese turned his screenplay around and made it through the lens of the victims of this. So we're talking about the 1920s, Oklahoma, a series of murders of Osage members and relations in the Osage Nation after oil was discovered on tribal land. Robert De Niro, Leonardo DiCaprio, and the amazing Lily Gladstone, and the film is Killers of the Flower Moon.
Right. You made a good choice coming back here. Osage are the finest, wealthiest, and most beautiful people on God's earth. They outsmarted everybody.
They have the say. Who gets the oil?
Son, I got a question. You like women?
That's my weakness.
Well, we mix these families together, and that estate money flows the right direction. It'll come to us.
Shumikasi.
I was sent down from Washington, D.C. to see about these murders.
We have so many deaths, we've lost count.
It's just bad luck.
Seems more like an epidemic than bad luck to me.
Osage is dying by the enemy. Do not let them die alone.
Evil surrounds my heart.
It is a long movie, to be sure. It's more than 3 hours. Is it worth it? Yes, and then some. You won't want to miss it. You'll never forget it. It's as good as people say it is. It's Killers of the Flower Moon.
All right.
So something like now. What do you say? Number 8. Of all of the situation comedies on television, my favorite remains The Conners on ABC. Now, we all remember Roseanne Barr, of course, and her career has now been sidelined for sure.
A little bit.
But the creative team behind The Conners just moved forward, right? And they said, we're just going to build this reboot of this family, the Conners family, around John Goodman and Sarah Gilbert and an amazing cast of actors. So one of my favorite moments this year was Sarah Gilbert, right? And Ames McNamara plays her son Mark, and it's truly an ultimate working class sitcom, and significantly better than Roseanne ever was. So here is a scene between mother and son, and what the sacrifices that we have to make sometimes for our kids.
Hey.
Hey, how was work?
Not great. I had to chase a guy who was shoplifting macaroons. He ran into traffic, and I thought, enjoy your cookies.
Would your day be better if I told you you were going to Stephen A. Douglas University basically for free?
Are you kidding me? How'd you do that?
They offered me a job there, and they give employees a huge tuition break.
That's unbelievable. What are you doing there?
I'm going to be a lunch lady.
Mom.
Don't bother. Everybody's tried.
Come on. I'm never going to feel right letting you do that.
Look, Mark, I have never been able to give you the things that you deserve. And I've watched you lower your expectations year after year. I mean, do you know how much it broke my heart to get a Christmas list from you that said socks, but only if they're on sale? For once, I have the chance to give you something that you've worked so hard for. So let me, okay?
You're going to be miserable.
Oh, I'm not going to be miserable alone. I mean, you are going to be working your ass off at Whole Foods, and you're going to be fighting to stay on the dean's list. And when you're in line in the cafeteria, you are going to call me Mom, because everybody's going to damn well know how much I'm sacrificing for you.
It's okay. I'll just call the other lunch lady's mom, too.
The Conners is on ABC. It's about to start its sixth season.
Wow.
New season will premiere in February. Okay, here we go. Number seven. The little movie that could, I don't think many people saw this movie, so I think it needs a little love. It's called Somewhere in Queens, written and directed by Ray Romano, the quintessential Italian-American family. So you can picture it, right? That Sunday dinner scene. And in this particular scene, here's a young lady dating Romano's son, a high school basketball star. And of course, she's given the third degree because the whole extended family is at the table. And God help us all, by the way, if you ever ask for more food at a table like that. There are only three answers to the question, would you like some more? No means you will get a little more. Just a little more means you'll get a lot more food. And yes, please means you'll probably be eating meatballs for life.
So, Danny, you graduate high school next month too, right?
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, then college.
Oh, God, no. A lot of things I want to do. I'm going to drive cross country.
For what?
How am I going to change the world if I don't see it all first?
What do your mother and father say about that?
They're full of it. They want me to go to some Ivy League school so they can brag about it to their friends. It's all about them. My dad says he'll pay for school and nothing else, which is stupid because I would end up partying with a bunch of idiots who don't know what they want to do yet either. Any more meatballs?
Oh, I make us some more.
Oh, no, no, no. Please.
Too late.
Everybody's getting more meatballs. Somewhere in Queens. I think it's lovely. Ray Romano, right? Oh. Everybody loves Ray. And here he has written and directed this great little independent film. Find it, Somewhere in Queens. Okay, real fast to number six. Yep. You know, Saturday Night Live started in 1975, and you never know what you miss until it goes away. And when the writer's strike just, you know, sent everything dark. It's like, oh my gosh, not only do I need SNL, I need that weekend update, right? Mm-hmm. I need that news, that funny news. So when they came back in full force.
On his website, truthsocial.scam, Donald Trump denied reports that he was so depressed after the 2020 election that he stopped eating, saying, quote, it was not that I was not eating, it was that I was eating too much. Wow, good save. That's like when a rumor went around middle school that I had peed my pants, and I was like, joke's on you, because I actually pooped them. A woman in Ohio convicted of throwing a burrito bowl at a Chipotle worker has been sentenced to spend 2 months working in fast food restaurants. Fast food, where your job is other people's jail. Buffalo Bills coach Sean McDermott apologized after giving a speech to his players where he used 9/11 terrorists as a good example of teamwork, which is kind of a full circle moment because when Osama bin Laden was giving the terrorists a pep talk, he told them not to be like the Bills.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
You know, SNL still getting it done. By the way, this weekend is their Christmas episode. The musical guest will be Billie Eilish. The host will be Kate McKinnon.
Wow.
So SNL still making the top 10.
Okay, we're counting down George Prentice's top 10 movies and TV shows and bits of 2023. We've got five more to go. And before we get to the next five, we should tell you we have very little time left in this fun drive. We have very little time left for you to call and help us, help Idaho Matters. We need to hear from you, 1-800-359-8411. There's a match on.
Dollar for dollar.
Dollar for dollar match. Next 18 minutes. 18 minutes to get in on this great Limelight Hotel in Sun Valley giveaway. Please give us a call. Time is running out. 1-800-359-8411.
My wife Connie and I moved to Boise from Wisconsin, which had an active public radio station there, but it was not as significant here until a few years later, and it has become a very vital part of our existence here in Boise, Idaho. We're most appreciative of it. Thank you.
And if it's part of your existence, please call us now, 1-800-359-8411. Samantha Wright, George Prentice, Idaho Matters. Very little time left. Dollar for dollar match.
I can't imagine. I mean, a $500 gift would be $1,000,
right?
You can break your gifts up monthly, but this is that opportunity. There is no tomorrow. There is no
today. There's
this
17 minutes.
Let's do this dollar for dollar match. Let's go out in style at 800-359-8411.
Make that match and support Idaho Matters because we love you. We love the fact that you come every day to Idaho Matters and that you come every other Thursday to listen to George and his What to Watch. So if you love it, 1-800-359-8411. Please help us out. George, top 10, five more to go. This is the best of 2023. What do you got?
Number five. When Greta Gerwig first pitched the idea of making a feature film about Barbie, I don't think studio executives had any idea of what might happen. Barbie disrupted everything.
Everything.
This year, and boy, did it resonate. It's been quite some time since a movie pushed out so much entertainment and thought-provoking dialogue at the same time. It was a box office smash. It is by far the biggest box office success of the year. Fun music. Wonderful scenic design and wardrobe, but what a script, right? I mean, for all the jokes, here's America Ferrera, and she played a Mattel employee. Amazing stuff here. Let's listen.
We have to always be extraordinary, but somehow we're always doing it wrong. You have to be thin, but not too thin. And you can never say you want to be thin. You have to say you want to be healthy, but also you have to be thin. You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you tempt them too much or that you threaten other women because you're supposed to be a part of the sisterhood, but always stand out and always be grateful. I'm just so tired of watching myself and every single other woman tie herself into knots so that people will like us.
Wow.
Wow.
And so as many jokes as there is messages like that, but for my money, the best script by far of the year. By the way, the soundtrack, right? Pink, Dua Lipa, Billie Eilish, Ryan Gosling. singing I'm Just Ken. By the way, Barbie will hit HBO Max this weekend. So look out. Ooh. Here it comes to the home screen. So number four. There is no way around it. Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer, a masterpiece. When Oppenheimer opened this summer at the same time that Barbie did, seeing both movies sometimes on the same day for some crazy reason became a thing.
Yep.
Right?
It did.
Barbieheimer?
Yep.
What? So two movies, polar opposites, with one exception, though. They were both pretty great. Of course, Oppenheimer is the biographical thriller written and directed by Christopher Nolan. And in spite of its length of more than 3 hours, I got to tell you, the first 2 hours of that film flew by as fast as any movie that I've seen. It's so compelling, so efficient. And what a cast, by the way, right? Cillian Murphy as Oppenheimer, Emily Blunt, Robert Downey Jr., yep. Florence Pugh, Kenneth Branagh. And here is Cillian Murphy with Matt Damon, who played Leslie Groves, who was trying to convince Oppenheimer to come and create the Manhattan Project.
Why don't you have a Nobel Prize? Why aren't you a general?
They're making me one.
Perhaps I'll have the same luck.
A Nobel Prize for making a bomb?
Alfred Nobel invented dynamite. Remind me, who were we at war with?
Somebody with your past doesn't want to be seen downplaying the importance of security from our communist allies.
Point taken, but no.
You don't get to say no to me.
It's my job to say no to you when you're wrong.
So you have the job now?
I'm considering it.
I'm starting to see where you got your reputation. My favorite response, Oppenheimer couldn't run a hamburger stand.
I couldn't. But I can run the Manhattan Project.
It's going to be tough to beat Oppenheimer for the best picture of 2023 at the Oscars. It may be the most terrifying film, by the way, of our times. And by terrifying, I mean devastating. You will never look at warfare the same way again. By the way, you won't have to wait too long for Oppenheimer. It will be streaming. We are told it will be on Peacock. I think a lot of people will set up Peacock when it does. For now, you can rent it to stream at home. It is Christopher Nolan at his best, and that is at a gold standard of the industry that we just do not see every day. And a lot of people were looking forward to this. I think this is one of those few blockbusters that exceeded expectations.
Yep.
Ready? Number three?
Number three.
Here we go. Years from now, I think we will look back at Only Murders in the Building as one of the best TV comedies of all time. We knew it was going to be pretty great a few years ago, but three seasons in now, it just keeps getting better. And this year's season, and they added Meryl Streep this year, and she was hilarious. Well, what a blast this was. Watching Steve Martin and Martin Short is such a pleasure, but then you've got Selena Gomez. She puts up with both of them and confirms that she's one of the most astute talents of her generation. But when Steve Martin and Martin Short go at it, oh my gosh, just step back and enjoy.
Charles, are you home? I'm in desperate need of your help. I have these scarves. Do you think they're too much for a funeral? Or do you have something I can borrow from your incredibly bland wardrobe?
Huh?
I didn't realize you were going to the funeral.
Why would I not go to the funeral?
Well, I mean, it's more of a fancy who's who kind of thing. And you know, you and Ben
had a complicated but ultimately copacetic working relationship.
I hope you gave the police a better performance than whatever that was.
I gave them an honest statement, not to mention a complete list of alibi witnesses and a doctor's note saying I'm too weak to kill.
Ow. Jesus. I do not have time to plumb the depths of your conscience. Donna and Cliff are dodging my calls. I have to convince them not to kill my show.
Oh, so now you're the victim here, not the man in the box.
All I need is 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes in a room, and I can convince anyone of anything.
That is not true.
I convinced you to get Paramount Plus.
No, I wanted that.
Did you?
Right. Did you? Did you really?
Did you?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
It's on Hulu, by the way, Only Murders. But if you've never seen it before, Only Murders in the Building is going to be broadcast on ABC.
Oh, wow.
Beginning next month, they're going to air the first season with back-to-back episodes every Tuesday. It will begin January 2nd on ABC. I know a lot of people are dying in that fictional building, so I'm sorry about that. But, you know, it's a big building. I hope the show goes on forever. Oh, it's hilarious. It's so great.
Okay. Before we get to the top two and the top one for 2023 movies by our movie critic, George Prentice, we've got 8 minutes left. 8 minutes left in this fun drive. Mm-hmm. And it's a match hour, so dollar for dollar match for the next 8 minutes. Call us. We need your support for public radio, Boise State Public Radio, to help keep us on the air. And for Idaho Matters, if you're listening, if you love it, call now. 1-800-359-8411.
This is a rare opportunity for this match. 800-359-8411. A gift in any amount will be matched. So that's the magic phrase, I guess, in any amount. So make this happen. We've got a big goal this hour, and we're inching our way there. But you can make it all happen. Be the hero of this drive with your phone call, where your gift will be doubled.
1-800-359-8411. Less than 8 minutes left. Go, George.
Okay, number two. I love The Holdovers. playing in theaters right now, it comes to us from the genius of Alexander Payne, who, of course, brought us Sideways and Election and Nebraska and About Schmidt. I think The Holdovers might be his best. Paul Giamatti as a cynical professor at a boarding school where most people go home for the holidays, except The Holdovers.
Sir, I don't understand.
That's glaringly apparent.
I can't fail this class.
Oh, don't sell yourself short, Mr. Coates. I truly believe that you can.
Every year at Barton Academy, students, faculty, and staff depart the campus for a 2-week winter break. But there are always an unfortunate few who have nowhere to go for the holidays. They're known as the Holdovers.
You know, he used to be a student, right?
Yeah, that's why he knows how to inflict maximum pain on us.
I thought all the Nazis were hiding in Argentina.
Stifle it, Tully. You just earned yourself a detention, sir.
Being here with you is already one big detention.
Son of a... That's another detention!
Do you think I want to be babysitting you? No, I was praying your mother would pick up the phone or your father would arrive in a helicopter or a flying saucer.
My father's dead.
You don't tell a boy that's been left behind at Christmas that nobody wants him? What's wrong with you?
Let me sleep.
Now, most of the kids dislike you, pretty much hate you. Teachers, too. You know that, right?
I find the world a bitter and complicated place, and it seems to feel the same way about me. I think you and I have this in common.
I don't think I've ever had a real family Christmas like this before.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
I fell in love with this movie when I saw it last fall, and I was hoping it would catch on. It has. It's actually doing very nicely at independent cinemas, including the Flicks in Boise.
It's still there today, yeah.
It is a perfect holiday drink, but I think it's more scotch and soda than fruit punch. But I recommend The Holdovers to just about anyone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your number one, George?
Here we go.
Number one.
How were we ever going to say goodbye to Ted Lasso this year? Well, when Ted Lasso came out a few years ago, I don't think anyone really considered getting Apple Plus. But let's face it, Ted Lasso is the reason most people got Apple Plus. In this unlikely story about an American coach recruited to the UK to coach a British soccer club, delicious. It swept the awards in its first season. Everyone was saying one of two things. Oh, yeah, I know Ted Lasso. Or, my gosh, I better check this Ted Lasso out. So this year was the final season, every episode a gem. The thing about Ted Lasso was its decency. To be sure, there's a lot of adult humor in there, and they dropped a few F-bombs, but it is sweet. Ultimately, it's sweet, especially Ted Lasso. So when Ted said he had to go home back to the U.S. to be with his son, his team had to find a unique way to say thank you and goodbye.
What the f*** is that? What the f*** is this?
There's
hears a sad sort of clanging from the clock in the hall and the bells in the steeple too. And up in the nursery an absurd little bird is popping out to say cuckoo.
Cuckoo. Cuckoo.
Regretfully cuckoo. They tell us, but firmly cuckoo. They compel us to say goodbye
to you. So long, farewell, I'll be there saying goodbyes.
And how perfect was this so long farewell, right? That, you know, this team of really salty players singing the song from The Sound of Music and Ted Lasso. And that was my number one moment of 2023.
Wow. Okay, George, I can't thank you enough for your top 10 and for all your what to watches on Idaho Matters throughout the year. We've got a couple minutes left. We're going to make our last plea to everyone listening to Idaho Matters, who loves public radio. This is it. Last 2 minutes of the drive. Last chance to get your gift matched dollar for dollar, but only if you call now, 1-800-359-8411.
We heard from Bruce and Weezer and Janice in Salmon. Boise State brightens our day in Salmon, she says.
That's nice.
Lorinda in Twin Falls, Tommy in Boise, and Georgine in Mountain Home, and Lisa in Boise. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you.
And thank you so much if you have called. If you haven't, 2 minutes left, 1-800-359-8411. Just enough time. George, what's your number one Christmas movie? If you had to pick, if you're trapped on a desert island and you had to choose.
Well, I mean, Clarence says, you know, right?
Yeah.
At the end of It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. And that message, no man is a failure who has friends.
Yeah.
And so that resonates more than anything this year for me.
Wow. That's awesome. I'm going to choose Miracle on 34th Street because faith is believing in something when common sense tells you not to. What's your favorite Christmas movie? You can still tell us. Give us a call, 1-800-359-8411. We've got about, just over a minute left in this fun drive.
And they're coming in. They're really coming in here. Here's Laura in Boise and Cindy in Boise, Norman in Boise. Guess what, guys? Gifts are being doubled. They will continue to be doubled for the next few minutes. Get on the phone, 800-359-8411.
Go online, boisestatepublicradio.org. Support public radio. Support Idaho Matters. Give us a hand. We need your help right now. 1 minute left, 1-800-359-8411. And we want to thank you for listening today and throughout the year. Support that listening. Support us now, 1-800-359-8411. 411. Thank you. Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.